This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, this is Arvind Yuvaraj on Open for Business, and we are talking about chocolate on today's show. I will be joined in a little bit by Wilfred Ng. He is the founder of Ben's Ethicoa, which means ethical cocoa, and he'll weigh in on the issue of ethical farming and harvesting of cacao beans, as well as the production chain that empowers farmers instead of sidelining them. Pretty interesting stuff, because we don't normally question where our chocolate and hot cocoa comes from, right? Ben's Ethicoa hopes to change that by educating customers and also keeping their price points affordable and accessible while still being a premium artisanal line. We will get to all of that in a bit, but Wilfred, yeah, thanks for joining us today.
Welcome.
Right, let's start with the basics. The name of your company is Ben's Ethicoa, as in ethical cocoa. Explain the ethical part of that name. Like, what does ethical cocoa mean exactly?
Okay, it's very much about how the practices we adopt in sourcing the cacao beans that we use. We all know cacao is a commodity. At this point of time, it is traded as a commodity and the price are actually depending on the market demand and all that. For example, right now, right, the situation because of the COVID and all that, in fact, the price of cacao has declined. And this is affecting a lot of farmers, right? So on our end, what we do is we actually focus a lot on high quality cacao. So those cacao beans that we buy, quality is our top priority. Yeah. So we do not buy any commodity cacao, which has low quality, low price. We go for high quality. So the ethical part of sourcing this high quality cacao is to pay the farmers higher than normal because of the high quality. The higher the quality, the higher the price it commands. Yeah, unlike commercial chocolate making, they do not care too much about the quality. If the commodity price right now in the market is, say, $2 per kilo, they will pay you $2 per kilo. Even if fair trade comes in, they will just pay you a little premium on top of that. But for us, in Ben's Ethicoa, we are paying our suppliers, which are the farmers, sometimes as high as 3 times the market price. But that all depends on the quality of the cacao. The other thing is we choose our farmers to work with. Yeah. And one of the main criteria is we do not support child labor. Yeah. Child labor, slavery, and unethical practices like you might have to adopt proper farming practices. Yeah, it's not so much only about chocolate making in bean to bar. It's also about the ethical practices we put in our sourcing and upfront processes.
Yeah, and you source from a few farms all over Southeast Asia, different farms and plantations. And all of them are considered sustainable farms, right? Like non-chemicals, non-toxic, stuff like that?
No. Well, some of the farms do not what we call organic farm. One of the only organic farm we have right now, if you're working with, is Annamalai Hills from India. They are certified organic. But like Vang Tao in Vietnam, this farm doesn't use any chemical. It's chemical-free. But they are not, just that they are not organic certified because it takes time to get the certification. But other farms like Sungai Ruan, the local Pahang farms, the farms in Philippines, Kalina, they are not chemical free. So chemical free, whether they use pesticide or use, is not one of our main criteria. As long as they practice the proper farming technique, means even if they apply pesticide, they have to ensure practices that there will not be any cross contamination on the beans. So this is actually what we are focusing on. We are not so particular about you have to be chemical free. You have to be, because all this does not affect too much on the quality, which is we're talking about the flavor of the cacao.
Right. So the whole production chain is kept clean. How do you source for these farmers in the first place? Like, what was that process like?
Well, it all started in 2017. We are pretty I mean, we have never done sourcing directly from the farm. So it is also a learning process from us. So we started looking for a local farmer, which we know Malaysia being one of the major cacao production back 30, 40 years ago. There are still pockets of cacao farms around. So we started searching on the internet. We started asking around, you know, for contact references. Where that's where we started. One of the first farm we worked with is Sungai Ran, a local Pahang cacao farm, and also Vietnam, the Vang Tao farmers, which we found through internet and we contacted them. So that's how we started sourcing. You know, of course now, because we are quite well versed with the farming community, we also work hand in hand with Malaysia Cacao Board, which they will give us references for local farmers. You know, they have a huge database of farmers, so they also recommend us, you know, some of their good farmers that we should work with them. Yep.
What do those benefits mean to the farmers? Like, because we always hear about, you know, like ethical farming, ethical coffee, stuff like that. But talk to us about, you know, how that helps them in the long run. Like, what does this partnership mean for their livelihood?
Okay. Cacao farming has been a dying industry or dying practices in Malaysia. It's something very labor intensive and not many people would choose to go in, also because of the price. So having to direct trade to procure the cacao bean direct from the farmers, it helps them in a way. All the income goes to them. Cutting off the middleman would definitely help them in terms of their income. And the partnership with them is very much to encourage them to cultivate good quality cacao. That's where they are able to sell their crops at a higher price. So all in all, better income if they put effort to cultivate good cacao. On our end, we cut off the middleman, so they will get all the profits to them directly. So monetary-wise, they are getting good money compared to in the past. Most of the time, farmers are selling their wet beans to collection centers. Yeah, and collection centers are the one that do the post-harvesting process, or even sometimes the collection center are selling to traders. And you see, in the middle, it actually goes through a lot of middlemen, not only one. You know, you go through a lot of channels before reaching the end user like us. So the profits are all spread out. You know, so why not the farmers do all the post-harvest process, cultivate good cacao, and they get all the income from that. You know, so this is what we encourage. And by doing that, it also helped them in terms of knowledge. A lot of farmers we visited, not only Malaysia, like places in Philippines, the farmers actually does not know how to do the post-harvest process. So they are just mainly selling their wet beans, which they can only fetch very low price. Yeah. So post-harvest process, we're talking about the fermentation, the drying process. So we also encourage them to learn the knowledge. So we very much try to connect them with people who can teach them and help them to learn that skill, do it themselves, and they can get a better income from their crops.
Let's talk about your products for a bit, Ben's Ethicoa itself. So you actually separate your chocolates and your hot cocos by farm. Mm. So the customers actually get to choose, like, is it like Sungai Ruam or Anamalai or any one of the others? That was an interesting choice. Like, talk to us about that. Like, why separate depending on farm, according to farm?
Okay, in bean to bar, we are talking, most of the time, we are talking about single origin. So the whole principle is about bean to bar is to present to consumers the natural taste of the cacao origin. So we try not to do blending, which most commercial chocolate makers will do. You know, for example, today you buy a so-called ABC brand chocolate from the supermarket. It wouldn't tell you which origin it is. It just tell you made from where, right? So these are the common chocolates that you see in the supermarkets and the mass market. Yeah. But for bean to bar, because we procure the bean from an origin, the traceability of the raw ingredients are there. By having knowing where the origin comes from, and if we handle the bean correctly in our processes, we actually can bring out very distinct flavors from different origin. Because cacao is very much a terroir kind of crops. Depending where you plant them, how you take care of them, it gives you different flavor from different origins. It's just like fine wine or single origin coffee nowadays, very popular. These are the fine things that we can bring to consumer, which at this point of time, they are not really well exposed to. You know, we grow up in the we grow up from young, eating commercial chocolates. Yeah, all we know about chocolate in terms of taste is either it's a bitter, sweet, milky, or chocolatey. But in fact, for bean to bar single origin chocolates, it has hundreds of flavor notes without having to artificially induce the flavors. So these are the fine things that people should enjoy. And on top of that, it is much natural and healthy because we don't use chemical, we don't use flavors, colorings and all that. We don't need that because the natural cacao, which high quality cacao that we use, actually already can bring out very distinct and unique flavors, you know?
Yeah, and it has a lot to do with the taste profiles, right? So in a way, you're treating your chocolates like coffee or like wine.
Yes.
In the sense that different beans come from different places and different taste profiles. So what is Malaysia's taste profile? Like our farm in Sungai Ruam in Pahang, what does the cocoa that comes from there taste like?
Okay, Sungai Ruam beans are what I would consider a pretty strong bean, okay? It has a very distinct burnt almond flavor and blackcurrant flavor. Yeah, so it's a very strong character compared to the other beans that we have. And these are natural flavors. If you compare to other beans, when we talk about not only country, even we say, okay, this we got a bean from Sungai Ruam that tastes with taste profile of burnt almond, a little bit of blackcurrant flavor notes. If I source a bean from Malacca, the taste profile will also be different. Yeah, so just within the country, with probably 20, 30 kilometers apart, it already has distinct difference in terms of flavor notes.
Right, we need to take a quick break, but we will be back with more from Wilfred Ng, founder of Ben's Ethicoa, to talk about the ethical production of chocolate. Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Big front man, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and my guest today is Wilfred Ng, founder of Ben's Ethicoa, a brand that emphasizes on ethical chocolate and keeping the cacao farmers in the loop with proper compensation. Do you see any interesting trends in the sale of chocolate, as in, customers in India, do they prefer the chocolates from Vietnam more like, or do Malaysians mostly prefer the stuff from India? You know, do you have those kinds of profiles?
Oh, yes. Well, taste preference is very subjective. You like it sweet, I don't like it sweet. You like it bitter, I like it a bit more acidic. So taste is very much a very subjective thing. So we have, like in Malaysia, our most popular will be Sungai Ruam, because a lot of local ones love the local flavor. And we also export to Singapore and also a little bit to New Zealand as well. In other countries, they would prefer chocolates like from Kalina, Philippines, Annamalai Hills and India. Those are the popular choices. So it varies from country to country, you know, the people prefer certain taste profile and all that.
I want to talk about your price points a bit, because like technically your price points aren't that high for artisanal chocolate like yours. There is a market, like, you know that, I know that there is a market that would pay a lot more for something like this. So
yeah.
I'm not complaining, but I'm just wondering, like, why keep the price low?
Okay, when we set out the project, one of the key things we want to deliver is to allow as many people to enjoy artisanal bean-to-bar chocolate. I mean, I can price a bar of chocolate from US, a US-made bean-to-bar chocolate can cost you, probably close to 30 ringgit per bar. But why are we selling half the price of what people are selling, you know? But that very much on We want more people to enjoy artisanal bean-to-bar chocolates. And how we do that, of course, one of our focus is to promote Asia beans. So having done that, because we are all in Asia, we are able to control or, I would say, minimize the logistic costs. Because so if imagine if you're going to import a cacao bean from Africa or South America, it will cost you a lot in terms of logistics. So ended up, who's going to pay for it? The consumer will pay for it. Yeah. So having control our sourcing within Asia, we are able to get a very acceptable price, you know, in terms of logistics. We don't have to spend so much on that. And secondly, we are currently the biggest bean-to-bar chocolate maker in Malaysia. And we all know that economy of scale, if we produce just a small batch, say 1 or 2 kilos of chocolate artisanal in a kitchen, you know, it's going to cost you a lot because of the time and effort. But here we have a pretty good scale. We are producing close to 300 to 500 kilos a day. You know, we have the capacity there. So with that scale, we are able to lower down our costs. So at the end of the day, all this adds up to how we control to have a reasonable price that people can afford.
Now, your factory is also very interesting. You actually have guided tours in the factory that's open to the public.
Yep.
Not many people do that. Not many people give customers a peek behind the curtain. So why do you? Like, what is the purpose?
I think we are moving towards an era where transparency and also the old school of not letting you know my skill or what I do behind the doors and all that. I think we have to look past this kind of thinking. To us, it is a learning journey. We want people to appreciate bean-to-bar. Why are you spending more on a piece of bean-to-bar compared to a commercial chocolate? So people must recognize the value. And the easiest way is for them to witness it, yeah, to see exactly how we make our chocolates and understand the long process that we go through to get the fine flavors at the end. And then they value, you know, they are able to accept the value. You know, yeah, it's artisanal and it's really different from what they used to eat. You know, they appreciate the work done not only by us, by the farmers. You know, here our guided tour is not only about chocolate making. We also tell them what the farmers do in their farms. They get to see cacao tree. They get to taste cacao pods, cacao beans. They get to taste, they get to witness the tools and the post-harvest process that the farmers do. Appreciate the farmers' work. So it's a whole learning journey. So without having to let them see it, if I'm over the phone, I keep telling you about all the different processes, you cannot visualize and you cannot imagine. Because not many people seen a cocoa farm. Not many people knows that chocolate actually comes from a tree. So we actually have to show them the real thing, see the real thing, in order for them to appreciate, oh, this is how chocolate is being made. And it's pretty fun thing, you know, for families, for children to see the whole process, you know. So that's the whole reason why we have to package this. At the end of the day, it's the whole package, you know. It's not only by selling your bars. It's also about telling the stories, the hard work, the processes, how we do make chocolate.
And I guess it also gives people like a sense of confidence when they know, you know, for sure where their chocolate comes from.
Yes.
Do you get a lot of bookings so far for the tour? Like, do you get a lot of people asking to be on the tour?
We do. We do have bookings, especially during weekend. Most of the time, we have many groups coming in, families. And of course, now because of the pandemic, there are no tourists. But we do have local tourists, which we are also focusing on. We do have schools, you know, that comes, bring the students here to actually have a nice visit and understand how chocolate being made.
Wilfred, what kinds of challenges are you facing at the moment with Ben's Athikoa?
I think the main challenge is what we are going through now, the COVID. How long it's going to last, what's going to happen, the fear of people coming out to public, visiting places like, you know, factory, it's still there. So I think this is one of the major challenges we are going through. And of course, consumer confidence is also badly affected. People are tightening up their belts. So having here we are doing artisanal products, the price point is a little bit higher than usual. So, well, these are the challenges, you know, whether at this point of time, whether people are willing to spend, because this, I mean, we always consider chocolates as a luxury. It's not a must-have. Something that you can, if you can afford, it's good to have. You know, if you cannot afford, it's fine not to have. Yeah? So these are the major challenges for us. But on the other hand, well, the brighter spots will be because being to bar, the strategy and the processes we adopt are very natural and healthy. Our mission is all out to create healthy, fine, natural chocolate. So the pandemic also helps in that way, that people are going for healthier stuff. They have more confidence if I want to eat a piece of chocolate, I can choose whether I want to buy a commercial chocolate with chemicals in there, or I can choose to buy a piece of natural, fine, healthy chocolate. So I think with this pandemic, I mean, most people will start to make a better choice or a healthier choice. Yeah? So I would say these are the good and the bad things.
So I like to end these kinds of interviews by talking about expansion plans and talking about what's next. So what is next for Ben's Ethicoa? Like, what is up on the horizon? Because as we know, the plans that people had at the beginning of the year aren't the same anymore. So what is next for you?
We are still pretty optimistic. In fact, prior to the COVID, we have plans to open what we call a bean-to-bar cafe in KL. The plans has been delayed, of course, because of the COVID and all that. But we're still optimistic to see how we can put something at the heart of KL. You know, because we are in Cheras, it's not so convenient for most people. We are still optimistic, keeping our plans for extension. So what? So right now, what we are doing is to, instead of having to start a cafe or anything, a huge investment, we are trying to increase our distribution point at this moment. So these are some expansion plans that we are doing. We are talking to a lot of potential customers, distributors, how we can distribute it to points where we can actually sell them, display our products to the public.
Wilfred, thanks so much for your time.
Great. All right. Take care.
Right. That was Wilfred Ng, founder of Ben's Ethicoa, an artisanal chocolate company that focuses on ethical farming and the openness of their chocolate production by allowing transparency with their customers. This interview is also available via podcast on the BFM website, which is bfm.my. You can also find it on the BFM app, which you can get for free on the Apple App Store on Google Play. Alternatively, we are on Spotify. We are parked under the podcast section. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.